Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, August 2nd, 2013. Hope you had a good week and are looking forward to a great weekend. I certainly am. Hopefully the weather will hold up, but please, let's get some rain up at our house. This has been, I think in about 25 years living here, it's the spottiest monsoon. A couple of days, it rained for about 10 minutes, but we really need the rain. Thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We're live here 12:04 Monday through Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Try to make it very easy for you to hear this program, whether you're at your desk or wherever. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We then post the show, thanks to our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. The show is usually up by within about a half an hour to 45 minutes of its conclusion, so we podcast at buckmastershow.com and tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com, all carry the podcast as well. Also links on the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun website. We're also prominently displayed at blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, the 21st president of the University of Arizona and the school's first female president. President Hart came to Tucson from Temple University, where she served as president from 2006 until she assumed the new UA leadership role in July of last year. Dr. Hart's research focuses on leadership succession and development, work redesign, and organizational behavior in educational organizations and academic freedom. Arizona Business Magazine recently named Dr. Hart as one of Arizona's 50 most influential women. Joining me to question the president, Sarah Garrett Gasson, columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, our Buckmaster Show live line open for you at 790-2040, or you can follow us on our very active Facebook page, which is very simple to find. It's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Sarah, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
And welcome, Dr. Hart. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
How are things going in the first year? How would you assess the first 12 months or so?
I have found the first year to be a very exciting time, with an eagerness for growth based on a tremendous foundation of quality. And what a great group of new colleagues I have. It's been a very exciting year. I can't believe how quickly it's gone for me.
And those who have been around campus say they have never seen so much change in many, many years. You are an agent of change, and that, I assume, is by design.
It is by design. And as I said beginning of our conversation, that's possible because of the tremendous quality foundation present at this great university. The world has shifted on us in the last decade, and very, very sharply in the last 5 years. And we want to make sure that the University of Arizona remains one of the top research universities in the world, and also designs what the future of a great 21st century land-grant university looks like. And we intend to lead in that arena.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Anyone who's been paying attention to the university over the years knows that every president comes in with different ideas, changes, plans that are formed, things that are done, not done. How is what you have done in the past year different than the very extensive process that President Robert Shelton had the university going through for budget cuts and streamlining and efficiencies?
Well, I am fortunate to be at the bottom of the cuts. While the legislative session only resulted in $1 million of new base funding for the university, it's the first budget session in years that wasn't a cut, a massive cut. And so what we are doing now at the university is looking toward the future. Where do we go from here in this new reality? And in the first year I've been here, violating academic standard time, we had completed a full and inclusive academic planning process by the 1st of December in draft form. Over 4,000 people had participated directly or online in responding to drafts of the plan, and by the end of May had developed a financial plan that will make it possible for us to lay out a decision process to achieve those new academic goals. So what we're doing now is starting with that reality, tremendous quality, major shift in funding sources and the future, and what do we want that future to look like in a very proactive way.
Is there an example you could give us, just, you know, a general listener? Sorry, I'm used to writing, so I'm sure you're all readers too.
They're readers and listeners,
yes,
Sarah, yes.
A very talented group of people.
I think they read the stars.
And I hope they do. And they're showing their great wisdom by listening to your show, Bill.
That's right.
But the idea of change and how does that manifest in a way that someone who isn't part of the university, doesn't work there, might not be a student or an alum, how do you explain that to them? Can you give us an example?
Yes, the first thing you're going to see is a real emphasis on interaction and partnering with many different friends and components of the American society and economy. We have launched a new division called Tech Launch Arizona, with Dr. David Allen as its head, and we'll be working very directly and proactively, and you'll see us in that arena, developing partnerships to bring the technological innovations and new ideas that are developed at the University of Arizona into various forms of partnering, licensing agreements, new patents, new business applications, much more proactively in that engagement. You will see us approaching our research in a way that is far more focused on innovating, actively being engaged in applying the basic knowledge that is discovered and creative work that is accomplished, and the learning that it takes place at the university into that knowledge becoming a more proactive part of our society and our interaction with the society around us. The university will be more visible in those very active, engaging, innovating, and partnering aspects of our core mission. So, for example, you will see many more partnerships where the university works with a private partner to develop an initiative where we put in some of our resources, our partner puts in resources, we admit and share responsibility and authority, which is new. That's not a common process for the U of A, and we accomplish more together than we would be able to accomplish by ourselves.
There is less reliance on traditional funding sources. The state is not giving as much money. It continues the percentage going down. There have been changes in tuition at the University of Arizona over the past couple of years. I'm just wondering, has that pretty much peaked at this point, or at least leveled off the tuition situation?
Well, under the current situation, it certainly, the levels of increase that occurred over the last 4 years, some of which were remarkable, has certainly leveled off. The overall enterprise, as we grow in students and as we also work in an economy with built-in increases in the cost of running the university, will probably result in much more gradual and modest increases if they occur, and we are taking major steps to decrease the cost of running the enterprise so that a higher proportion of the overall resources can be spent on our core mission of engaging, innovating, and partnering.
And after decades of growth, enrollment, well, high school graduation has actually peaked in this country.
It has.
I don't think a lot of people understand that those days of the big enrollments across the university are behind us. The Wall Street Journal was articulating this in a piece last week, that universities, the public universities like the University of Arizona, have really come out with a little bit of growth, but you're talking about some of your smaller colleges are really hurting right now with these freshman classes. In some cases, are 25% to 50% below what they were a few years ago, enrollment numbers.
It is a demographic reality that the number of young people graduating from high school who are ready to succeed in college has already peaked and is in a decline. We know because we know how many babies are born each year, 18 years out, what those numbers will be. And that decline appears to have bottomed out. We are fortunate in the Southwest in that those declines were nothing like as sharp as they were in the Northeast and other parts of the country. But we also want to make sure that we continue to focus on giving our citizens the opportunities to secure the education that allows them to become economically successful and to participate in the new economies. And so recognizing that raw numbers don't tell the full story, I believe that we will still have a very, very strong need to provide that world-class education if Arizona is to prosper going forward. But as you said, for institutions like ours, that decline has not had anything like the dramatic impact that it had on small private colleges.
Shall we take a break right here? Sarah, do you have a short question before the break?
Well, I was just wondering your thoughts from your research, your experience on it's always being pointed out that you're the first female president. Is that significant in the way you look at your role, or is it something that we need to move past and just sort of, it's not a big deal anymore?
I think it depends on where you're standing. I have been gratified and a bit surprised by how important the fact that I am the first woman to serve as the president of the University of Arizona has been to our community. And I have received incredibly warm welcomes from so many different aspects of the women-led organizations here in the state, that it's a bit overwhelming, and the attention I've gotten is a little embarrassing. But from my perspective, I've been the first woman in so many different jobs that I have fulfilled that for me personally, interpreting, making sense of, and acting on that reality is more a part of just who I am and how I lead than it was the first time it happened to me. And I see those as two parallel, important, and interactive viewpoints to the significance.
All right, Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart of the University of Arizona, president, with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. But right now, let's take a few minutes to listen to the fine lineup of people that support the Buckmaster Show. Without their support, we wouldn't be here, and we ask that you support them. Thank you.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show this Friday afternoon as we push toward 12:22. Every Friday we bring in a Friday focus interview. Today it is Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, who is the president of the University of Arizona. Sarah Garrett Gasson joining me in our KVOI studios as we talk with the president about her vision for the University of Arizona. And one of those major visions has to do with money. I mean, let's face it, fundraising is, Dr. Hart, a very important part of the job. And you have set a very ambitious goal of about, I think you're talking the big B there, $1 billion over 5 years.
We are talking the big B plus and are currently in the process of doing our evaluation of our donor base and the interests of the great philanthropists who have contributed to the University of Arizona to settle on that final number. We are right now in the middle of our planning process with the University of Arizona Foundation, and we hope to be able to launch the public phase of our next big campaign for the university sometime this spring. We're very excited about it. Philanthropy has always been important for private universities, but we have such a need to vary the sources of revenue that support our great enterprise that we continually to rely more and more, especially on the value-added components of the university, on the generosity of donors. And philanthropy will be a huge focus for me going forward.
And it's important we were talking about less reliance on government funding. It's just a reality. The money's got to come less from the governor.
Absolutely.
The government.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons that I emphasized before the break, Bill, that our focus on partnering and accomplishing goals together with new partners is also a part of that different way of looking not only at the way we treat knowledge and information, but also as we think about revenue streams to the university to support our core mission.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star. Sarah?
When you were in the to the Star Newsroom several months ago, and we had a meeting and Q&A. One of the things that we talked about was how students say they can't graduate in 4 years. Classes aren't available, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that you pointed out was, yeah, classes are available, but they're at 8 a.m. on a Thursday or a Friday.
Friday.
So,
yeah.
So I was just wondering, have you made changes in advising, in class scheduling, all those sort of peripheral things that really do make a difference in how quickly a person can graduate?
We have really focused on advising and helping students plan their course of study. One of the things I think we talked about when we met earlier was how important it is for students to become good consumers of their own higher education. And knowing in early on in your academic career what you need to do in order to finish your degree in a timely manner, and then planning out in advance to make that happen, is a huge part of that success. And finishing in 4 years takes some planning. For example, the full-time study requirement to receive federally guaranteed financial aid for loans only asks for 12 hours of semester study each term. If you average 12 hours per semester, you will graduate in 6 years. So many students who haven't taken advantage of the advising and planning that is available as a form of assistance on campus, but also sort of carpe diem, seize the day, be a good consumer, take control of your own future and plan that carefully. The students who don't do that find themselves at the end of their sophomore years in a bit of a hole where it almost becomes impossible to complete their studies in the old traditional liberal arts 4 years. So we're focusing on advising, we're focusing on sharing information. We want parents and students to know how to be good consumers so that they can make the right decisions to help them be successful.
Downtown is going to be so important. The University of Arizona's presence down there, I really think it was one of the keys when the University of Arizona came on board with downtown. It's going to put a lot of students downtown, consumers downtown. I think it will help the modern streetcar. You're a player down there.
I want to be. And I think that great cities need great universities, but great universities need great cities as well. And we are partners. We are interdependent for our reputations and our success. The programs that we are hoping to center downtown and increase in visibility and success often are targeting students who are professional master's degree aspirants, who might want a master's of public administration or a degree in social work or other aspects where they're living in the downtown area or working in the downtown area and may not be able to attend classes in traditional scheduled hours, but certainly would love to be able to have access to their degree programs in that energized environment in which they work and hopefully live more and more. So we have several deans who are very interested in increasing the size of those programs and a lot of energy and excitement around being a part of that growth and development.
Sarah, another quick one.
I was wondering your thoughts about the student loan agreement that has finally come to pass in the Congress. It was it's something very near and dear to many students' hearts, and the cost of an education is incredibly expensive now. Yes, Arizona is less expensive in compared to other states, but we don't live in those states, so it's kind of immaterial in a way. What are your thoughts on how the student loan debate has come about and your thoughts on the agreement that was reached to tie it to Treasury notes?
Well, I think the debate has been more political than educational in nature and is tied into the current disputes between the major political parties about what the U.S. government should spend money on. When I was an undergraduate and borrowing money, and even as a graduate student, the rates were higher than they are now, significantly. And so I've seen in my career and education, those rates come and go. But the commitment to continue to support students, I think, is a critical one. And tying that rate to the economy is a justifiable one. As you know, I wrote an op-ed with Congressman Barber arguing for a more measured process where we retained the low rate and then worked together for a compromise. And I think that it's important for us to remember that we as a nation have a commitment to, obligation to, and a stake in the education of our future citizens who will be the citizens who will be our future leaders. And we don't want to lose sight of that.
Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, thank you very much. Good luck as the new semester begins, in about 3 weeks, couple of weeks? And then football season with those new facilities. That's going to be
It's going to be great. We hope to see you there.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Reporters Roundtable next on The Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Even though the unemployment rate is down to 7.4%, today's jobs report points to a less than robust job market. Employers added 162,000 jobs in July, the smallest number since March. Lawmakers from both parties say it's a wise move, reacting to the State Department's decision to issue a global travel alert, warning Americans of the potential for terrorism, particularly in the Middle East and North Africa. Both pilots are okay after two Air National Guard fighter jets clipped wings in midair last night. That happened off the coast of Virginia. A Miami-area woman is accused of repeatedly drugging her adult autistic son, locking him in a filthy room with iron bars inside her mobile home so she could spend time with her boyfriend. More details at srnnews.com.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Reporters Roundtable. Local journalists are invited to the Buckmaster Show, and thankfully, they agree to come on the program. We're very happy for that. Sarah Garrett-Gaston is with us, columnist, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and now joining us in studio, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Sarah, I was very impressed with Dr. Hart, first opportunity to meet her, and very warm, a person really on the ball, a real bright light.
Yes, I have to say that she's very open and communicates very easily and doesn't resort to jargonese and educationese, which is always refreshing.
Dan, top of the news this week, rural metro, and this really impacts a lot of us, folks living in the foothills of Tucson, I guess, rural metro.
Sarita.
I just sent my check.
Yeah, there you go. So should I be worried as a rural metro client?
That's really the bottom line question. And in very short order here, Rural Metro is a private fire service provider. They also run Southwest Ambulance, which is the ambulance all around this area. And they have a long history. And for down where I am, they cover the northern part of Sarita. Green Valley Fire covers the southern. They've had a rocky history of leadership. And they recently missed a bond payment on some interest on some bonds. And that raised all sorts of financial questions. And the Wall Street Journal reported a couple days ago that they could be filing bankruptcy in the next couple of weeks. But the big question is, if I call 911, is someone going to be there?
Yeah.
That's really the question.
And, that's the bottom line.
And most likely nothing will happen if they choose to file bankruptcy and reorganize and move forward, which is what I think will happen if they even get to the bankruptcy stage. But people are nervous, and government leaders are lining up backup for Rural Metro in just in case the worst happens. And it could.
I think it's very interesting that down in where Dan, you and I both in our neck of the woods, in Saharita, there was a very contentious expansion effort by the Green Valley Fire District a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Rural Metro fought that tooth and nail, and it ended up that they won, basically, the
right
expansion bid to make it part of Saharita, part of the fire district, failed. And so I don't know if people who made that decision will come to regret it. I hope when I call 911, people will show up. But you're right. When these sort of financial things tend to not, it's like airlines.
Right.
The planes still run. Right. Mm-hmm. Or fly.
And the tough thing with that annexation effort was that more than half the people in the town signed on saying, we want Green Valley Fire. And the mayor at the time, Lynn Skelton, wanted it because she thought it was best for the town to have one fire provider. And Green Valley Fire had done a terrific job. So we'll see what happens here. But we will put this, frankly, at the feet of Sharon Bronson, because she's the one who stood in the way of the annexation effort on a technicality. Mm-hmm. And so she's the one who's really going to have to answer for this.
All right. Pima County bond survey, the deadline, Sarah, has been extended. That news today from Rhonda Bodfield, the fine communications specialist with Pima County. Rhonda, if you're listening, Rhonda, you're doing a great job.
She's
even
great.
If you're not listening, I'll say to everyone that knows Rhonda, and Sarah and I and Dan know her very well.
Absolutely.
And she's doing a great job at Pima County Communications. They have decided to extend the survey. I think it's a good idea to do that because over 12,000 residents have weighed in on this survey about what they would like to see, what projects they would like to see covered in the next bond issue.
Yeah, I think the more public comment and involvement you can get, the better in these sort of things. And I think it's wonderful to be able to have these sort of surveys so easily accessible online. You don't have to take time out of your day to go to a meeting or do something like that. You can do it quickly, and it will give our officials an idea of what people really and truly want and think is most important. There's a whole mix of things on there.
Lots of things.
Lots
in fact,
and lots and lots of
a couple of op-ed pieces in the Star today.
Yes.
One of them is articulating a cause I feel very strongly about, a cause that we talk about a lot on this program, Pima County Animal Care Center.
Yes. Yes. They are people are asking for an expansion, they are beyond capacity right now, and it's something that definitely I think, in my own opinion, as Bill knows, I'm very passionate about mm-hmm. this too, that needs to happen. But it's one on a menu of options,
yeah,
and
I
it's going to see
90 some. Yeah. And Dan, not everybody's on board with doing even a bond issue. There are a lot of people that would say that we shouldn't even be doing this because it's going to cost us more money in taxes.
That's right. Can we afford it? That's going to be the bottom line question. But I think right now a lot of people down in our area who are looking at several projects they want to see on that list are going to the site. And by the way, it's pima.gov/bondsurvey. That'll get you there. But we have some very key projects in our area. I like the fact that they're asking for public input. It is not a popularity contest, but it's good that the leaders want to hear from us.
A couple of other issues that we want to talk about. Certainly Grand Canyon University made it official this week. They will build a campus in Mesa, but there's been a confusion, I think, on this issue that it was an either-or situation. From what I understand, Sarah, Mesa was always on the table.
I believe that is the case, and it makes sense. I mean, the main
campus, East Valley Satellite, yeah.
Right, at Grand Canyon University is in Glendale, which is a world away, mm-hmm. Driving time from the East Valley, and there are people who point to Tucson's inability to secure that deal. They wanted to go, and they were looking at land in the El Rio Golf Course, and the neighborhood objected, and that ultimately fell through. And people will point to this, I think, for years to come and say, look, we really lost out on something that could have been a great employment driver, educational center. There's talk that they are still looking at other options around the city, but they're going to have their hands full, I think, building something new in Mesa.
Dan, weigh in on this about there. It has been a lot of confusion that this was either or.
Right, and Sarita was one of the areas that they're looking at potentially for the future, but Tucson didn't lose Grand Canyon University yet. I think that the city council is perfectly capable of blowing it, but it really hasn't blown it yet because East Valley was always on the priority for them. They already have a presence out there at A.T. Still University, and they just wanted to expand. Now, that could take years to build that campus. I do believe they're going to continue to look down here. That's what they're saying, but it could be Oro Valley. It could be Marana. It could be Sahuarita.
Dan Shearer is with us from the Green Valley News, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. If there's something you would like to say, weigh in at 790-2040. Coming up on 1242. Dan, what's the latest on the Rosemont ruling? There was a major piece, I think it was in the Star last Sunday, that there was a deadline that had to have been reached, or that what's the deal?
Well,
September deadline.
Right. I don't know when it was in the Star, but it was in the Green Valley News 2 weeks earlier. just let me throw that at you.
Okay.
Really what it amounts to is that on September 27th, the rules change. And the rules for these types of projects are going to involve more input from the public. So if Rosemont is not approved by September 27th, this will delay the whole thing for probably a good 3, 4, or 5 months. So will the U.S. Forest Service issue its record of decision before September 27th? Well, Rosemont certainly wants them to. The county certainly wants them to slow down. Everybody wants more time. Where it stands right now is that the stakeholders have until August 15th to weigh in, and then we'll see how quickly this record of decision can be made.
So
I think we'll get it before September 27th.
You think there'll be some kind of a decision before the 27th of September?
Correct. It doesn't mean that Rosemont has cleared all the hurdles. It's certainly a major one, but we still have the Army Corps of Engineers permit that allows dumping in waterways and certainly many challenges to Rosemont. This would be huge for them, and they do not want to delay. This has been going on for 7 years, Bill.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah, 7 years.
7 years.
And it's going to go on for a very long time,
absolutely.
No matter what the Forest Service decides.
I would say that that's probably the case.
How about Chuck Huckleberry? He's really very passionate, Sarah, about the proposed I-11, Interstate 11 freeway, even though some board members, I know Sharon Bronson was on the show a couple of weeks ago, saying that she just is not at all on board with this and says it's just actually a waste of money.
Well, it's you got to give a hand to someone who gets passionate about about transportation issues.
And he does, of course. Chuck's background is certainly transportation.
Yes, absolutely.
Feels very excited about it.
Well, and it is good that, that people do. Yes, it's it would be a bypass, basically, of the Tucson metro area to the west. And it would, for those of us who, just speaking selfishly, drive on I-10 going through the city, I really would be excited for those giant trucks not to be there. So I don't fear them so much. But it is something that, that would be a kind of a go-around and more directly connect the I-19 coming up and going out to the west. And it would be something that would enhance trade. It would be a corridor, a transportation corridor up from the south. And Chuck thinks that it's something that we really need in order to take advantage of all the commerce that could potentially be coming from Mexico.
Right, and it's huge because it not only would bypass Tucson, but also Phoenix, which you talk about big trucks going through. That's a really,
yes,
really good point. And here's that name again, Sharon Bronson, who could hopefully not deep six us without really having a good community conversation about it. It's a particular interest in Sorita because it would connect to I-19 right at Sorita Road, which is a very, very key intersection, and there are houses there. So we'll have to see what happens, but I hope that she doesn't poo-poo it before we have a chance to really debate it. And I know it's been talked about before. I know we've been down this road before, but this is something that's really important to this area. There's an opportunity here. It wouldn't be built for years. We know this, but we all need to just to calm down and listen. And I hope by the time the decision is to be made that Sharon Bronson is no longer in office.
12:46 on our reporters roundtable, Dan Scheer and Sarah Garrett Gasson are with me, and a big shout out to Benson City Councilman Chris Moncada. Chris is really excited, and he should be. All the people in Benson really excited about this news that Benson's school district has edged out Vail,
yes,
as the number one performing school district in the state. This kind of, as far as I'm concerned, this kind of came out of nowhere. I really wasn't that familiar with the Benson school system.
And it looks like we've been missing out.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're doing something right.
It's the Vail school, I mean, speaking more toward our mm-hmm. geographical area, the Vail school district has very much to be proud of, too. And there's actually the whole area has, I think, four schools that are going to be named failing, which is four too many, but it is far fewer than some suspected or feared would happen. So yeah, congratulations to Benson.
Dan, Vail has certainly had wonderful high marks, and the superintendent has always, he's been very good to us on the program. He's always available, Calvin Baker, and he always, that district gets really high marks, and still, I guess being number two is still pretty darn good.
Well, I hear you. We own, our company owns the newspaper in Benson, and they're certainly very excited out there. We do a lot of work with Vail. It's just up the road from Sahuarita. I'll tell you, though, Bill, about 3 years ago, we decided that these scores are just really a slice of really all the stuff that we should be looking at when we size up a school district. And so I'll tell you what, we're not even reporting on this. We did check our scores from our schools down there. If we see something that's really an issue, we'll dig in. But we're not going to just blindly report these letters and tell people, oh, your district got a B, you should feel good about it. Because, again, it's just a very small slice of what we should be looking at as we look at these districts. So we don't even report this stuff anymore.
And why not report it and then explain what the shortcomings are or what we should be looking at?
And that's a good point. What you have to do is you have to look at all the criteria that are considered and then look at all the criteria that aren't. And we find that these are not lacking, but again, they're, let's face it, Sarah, we know this in our business. People only go about an inch deep on certain things and think they know everything. They see this score. They say, oh, again, I got a B. We should feel good about our district, and then they back off and they don't look at anything else. What we do all year round, not just when these scores come out, but what we do all year round is dig into the district, all different areas, the arts, who they're hiring, what they're paying, scores in part, but we don't want to report something that gives that is not a real accurate reflection or honest reflection of what the district is doing.
Well, and I absolutely 100% agree with you that these kind of scores and any sort of testing regimen is...
And it goes the other way, too, with the failing schools.
Right, you know, right.
Because nobody wants to be say they go to one of the schools that... consistently
right.
a D
right.
year.
Right. And it's a very, very shallow way, I think, of measuring school performance. I spent a lot of time at the Walter Douglas Elementary School in Flowing Wells and wrote about it for the Star. And if I wish every person could have been there with me, and I hope maybe they'll go back and take a look at some of the reporting, because they exemplify so clearly what a school can do in the lives of children educationally in so many different ways that will never, ever, ever show up on a standardized test.
And I think you even said that in one of your pieces.
Yes.
Wish everybody would sit here and see this, and you're exactly right. I wish more people would, too.
I wish every lawmaker would spend 2 weeks
Absolutely.
As a substitute teacher in a school, and then...
Great
say
idea.
What you know
and
about
Sarah,
education.
That was a great column about time, your column on Thursday. If you folks haven't checked it out, go on the Star and check out Sarah's column about time and schools. And we all have to deal with time, don't
we?
And
that
leads me to say we are out of time.
That is quite a segue.
There you go. Sarah and Dan, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I think we're going to see both of you next week, so thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. When we hear that music, we think of one thing. Yeah, it's the weekend with Matt Russell, our Weekend Watch reporter. But first, before we bring in Matt, we want to tell you, and gladly so, this portion, Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This is the big weekend, the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival. All sorts of fun activities going on in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. Very nice places to stay in the area, including Casitas de Gila Guest Lodge and Bear Mountain Lodge and Pinos Altos Cabins, to name a few. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Now, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, getting ready for a big weekend.
Yeah, I certainly am, Bill, and I should say, speaking of Silver City, New Mexico, a very good friend of mine just sent me a note, had never been there before, decided to go for the weekend, had one of the best times she's had in a long time, and a very rewarding culinary experience at one of the restaurants there, so I'm delighted to hear that great feedback from your show.
Oh, thank you very much, and we love Silver City. It's just a different experience. You're in a different state. It's beautiful, mile-high elevation, really a great weekend getaway very close by. Your column today, I think it's about the Cuban menu at Downtown Tucson Kitchen, isn't that correct?
It sure is, Bill, and I love Cuban and Latin American cuisine, and throughout the month of August, Chef Janos Wilder is going to be featuring a special Cuba-inspired menu right down there at Downtown Kitchen. Lots of tropical fruits and assertive chilies are going to be showcased around such items as rainbow trout with a passion fruit emulsion and rum and coffee-cured duck breast. So many choices on this great menu. And speaking of rum, Bill Buckmaster, of course there's going to be some Cuban-inspired cocktails to accompany these dishes. So join Janos Wilder as he goes Cuban at Downtown Kitchen this weekend and all month long.
Oh, it sounds like a great appointment, a dining appointment. You know, we were talking about the wine industry, which is really growing. We talked about that on the show this week. Sonoyta Vineyards has got some fun stuff going on.
Yeah, I thought this would be a great weekend, Bill, for a short road trip, heading down to the Sonoyta Elgin area for their annual Harvest Fest over there at Sonoyta Vineyards on Saturday and Sunday from about 10 to 4. The winery is going to be featuring special wine tastings, and including some of their newer releases, some food and wine pairings, tours of the winery, and, of course, the ever-popular grape-stomping demonstration, which is always a lot of fun. $15 gets you in, which includes a souvenir glass that you can take home. So a wonderful weekend for some delicious Arizona wine at Sonoyta Vineyards.
And that Arizona wine increasingly garnering a really nationwide reputation, putting out some really good reds, and the whites are really good too. So check out Sonoyta Vineyards. How about Tucson Originals, our friends here in town, the locally owned restaurants with their summer specials?
Yeah, all summer long, members of the Originals are featuring specials for only $20.13. My pick this week, Bill, is the Lodge on the Desert, and they're going to be serving up a gorgeous chicken dish with creamy polenta, a side salad, some green beans, and some house-made gelato for only $20.13. And it's all made by the delicate hands of Tucson's Iron Chef, Ryan Clark. Remember, all Tucson Originals summer specials are on the website at TucsonOriginals.com.
Yeah, Lodge on the Desert. A lot of good dining over there, and it's very conveniently located over on Alvernon, so it's a great stop. Matt, I hope you have a great weekend, and enjoy the Cuban food tonight. That'll be fun.
I'm heading down there tonight, Bill. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch. Yeah.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is generously supplied by Culligan. A big shout out to all of our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple, Culligan water for all your residential and commercial water needs. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Buckmaster, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Our team members, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. She is a terrific producer. Rose does a fantastic job. We could just not do it without Rose. Also, a shout out to our new sales representative, well known in the community, Mr. Richardson, Bob Richardson, with our doing some sales for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, it's weekend talk on the Buckmaster Show after this afternoon. Of course, it's 3 to 5 with John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk. Michael Medved's show comes up next. And then Phil Cedar tomorrow morning gets things going with our weekend experts. He'll be talking about what to do in the garden as we finally maybe get some rain this weekend. Then the Wake Up Tucson show with Chris and Joe. That's coming up on Monday, 6 to 8. Have a great weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.